Heroes. As children, we look up to superheroes. As adults, our heroes are definitely more human. Heroes can be sports figures, successful inventors, or actors. They're those we look up to, those with some level of personal greatness. Not just someone who rushes into a burning building to rescue a toddler trapped on the top floor. They are men and women who uphold a higher standard than others before them have achieved. A hero can be defined as an ordinary person doing extraordinary things. The hero formula is easy to break down. They live ordinary lives until faced with an injustice or other challenge, at which time they make a decision to do what is right, regardless of the cost. Heroes are hard to find in our world today. Once upon a time, our nation's leaders were heroes. George Washington and Abe Lincoln are excellent examples. Today, politicians cannot be shamed or humiliated, for, as author P.G. O'Rourke has observed, what used to be called shame and humiliation is now called publicity. If you say a modern celebrity is an adulterer, a pervert, and a drug addict, all it means is you've read his autobiography. That's from Give War a Chance from 1993. By our definition of hero, ordinary people doing extraordinary things, regardless of the cost, I believe the prophet Daniel is a hero. When we're first introduced to Daniel in chapter 1 of the book that bears his name, we find a young man thrust into extraordinary circumstances. Foreign invaders have overrun his nation, and he and his three friends, along with thousands of others, have been taken captive. Appropriated into the king's courts, he and his friends find favor with the enemy and are to be trained in the ways of Babylon. Daniel is faced with a choice. Fit in with the Babylonians and live according to their standards, or live up to the calling, his calling, as a Jew. In verse 8 of chapter 1, we see the first decision Daniel makes. He resolved not to defile himself. Literally, the rendering of the text is laid upon his heart. Daniel laid upon his heart, that is, he resolved not to defile himself. And this was his first step toward becoming a hero. At issue here was following the Mosaic Law. Babylonian food would include several animals God forbade Hebrews to eat, and both the food and wine would have been dedicated to idols before being served, as was the Babylonian custom. This decision on his part, and on the part of his three friends, is what initially separated these four men from the rest of the captives, who apparently didn't have any problem with eating the food. His decision could have put him at odds with his captors and the rest of the captives, though they could have been executed for rejecting the king's generous supply. The decision appears to be made easily by Daniel. Such was his and his friends' character and their relationship with God. The manner in which Daniel handles this situation is also noteworthy, as it reflects his good judgment and common sense. He does not rebel from his captor's authority. Instead, he courteously requests that he have a different diet than the others. While the attendant has the authority to make the decision, the Bible is very clear about who approved this request. In verse 9, we see that God favors the request and causes the official to do likewise. This first episode in the book of Daniel reveals his high regard for God's word and his resolution to live up to its standards instead of cultural standards. This respect for the word and for others is also shown in chapter 2. The king requests the impossible from his quote-unquote wise men, that they not only interpret a dream that he had, but that they first tell the king his dream before interpreting it. When no one can comply, the king orders them all to be executed, including wise men in training like Daniel and his three friends. Again, instead of rebellion or anger, Daniel shows tact. He asks the commander of the king's guard to explain the situation and then takes on the responsibility of doing the impossible, for he knows that with God, all things are possible. So we see in chapters 1 and 2 Daniel's allegiance to Scripture and respect for his fellow man. We see that he was wise in his dealings with his captors and was blessed for his decision to obey Scripture and not defile himself. Yet a few chapters later, we will see his wisdom put to the test once more. Daniel's enemies, presumably other Babylonians, though this time they may have included a few others from the Israeli captives, conspired to have Daniel removed. They thought first to discredit him, but could find no fault in how he conducted the affairs of state. They then discovered Daniel's kryptonite, his strict obedience to God's law. Whenever the king's law conflicted with God's law, Daniel would always choose to follow God's law. Hence, all they had to do was have the king sign a law that prohibited Daniel from practicing his faith, and they would have a case against him. And this they did, by having the king sign a law that for the next month, no one could pray to any god. The entire kingdom could only pray to the king. Violators would be put to death for dishonoring the king. What did Daniel do when he learned of the new law? He did exactly as he'd always done. He went home and prayed in front of an open window in a manner that could not have been mistaken for prayer to any other deity but Yahweh. Was this the wisest decision? What else could Daniel have done? Well, Daniel could have obeyed the law. After all, it was for only 30 days. But to do so would have compromised his relationship with God. His time in prayer was of equal value to his obedience to Scripture. In fact, the two go hand in hand, as his prayer ritual was in obedience to 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 29 to 30, and verses 46 through 49. Secondly, Daniel could have prayed silently or in private, and thereby given the illusion of adherence to the law. Had he done so, his testimony would have suffered. People would have accused him of obeying man rather than God. Even if the accusation were false, he would have established he was more afraid of the king than of God. Obedience to the law, even perceived obedience, would have meant that the law was greater than Scripture. Third, Daniel could have challenged the law openly before the king. This would have had no effect, as the king's signature had made this into law. And in the Medo-Persian tradition, law was higher than royalty. That is, even the king was not above the law. This is known from history, but is also evidenced here in the scriptural text. The king did not want to send Daniel to the lions, and made every effort to save him until the time of his execution. If there were a loophole, King Darius would have found it. Therefore, Daniel really had no choice but to follow through in his regular discipline, even though it meant a death sentence. What those conspirators meant for evil, God intended for good. In the end, Daniel was saved, evil was punished, and God was glorified throughout Medo-Persia. Sounds like his decision was a wise one after all. Without doubt, Daniel was an ordinary man who did extraordinary things regardless of the cost. He lived through the end of the Babylonian Empire and saw two other empires rise up as well. In all, he was God's chosen instrument to carry his plan to the reigning world powers. All because he resolved to obey God. All because he purposed in his heart to let Scripture be his guide. Can we say the same of ourselves?